T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Copyright 2017, Capital One.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Studios. Driven by Kia and the official sponsor of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
Sports fans, you don't need a long-term contract to catch the Hawks versus the Bulls. Get YouTube TV for only $35 and catch all your favorite teams live. No box, no bundle, just TV made right. YouTube TV. Cable-free live TV is here.
Thursday football is back at Buffalo Wild Wings. Hang out with John Michaels tomorrow from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. at the Buffalo Wild Wings at the Mall of Georgia location for the 92.9 The Game Thursday Night Football Watch Party. Get your friends in the huddle for a night out with delicious wings, cold beer, prize giveaways, and watch Miami take on Baltimore. Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is your Thursday football headquarters this fall. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports.
Trufant intercepted.
Our Falcons play here. The game.
We can do it.
WCGC Atlanta. WZGC HD1.
Atlanta Sports Radio. 92.9. The game.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9. The game. As mentioned, a really busy Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday ahead for all of us. It's just that time of the year. A lot of big events going on. Before I forget, by the way, I don't know if you know this, and I know it's not college football, it's college basketball, but I just want to give a quick shout-out to Georgia State and Georgia Tech, because they're going to be playing, can you believe it's already college basketball? On Saturday at McCamish, Georgia State and Georgia Tech are going to play an exhibition game between the two. It's all general admission, and the money's going to go for hurricane relief. So this is a good thing that Ron Hunter and Josh Pastner have put together. Their two teams are going to play an exhibition game on Saturday at McCamish.
Do you know the time there?
I think it's an early game. I want to say, you know what, do me a favor, D, look that up, because I want to make sure that I got it right. I think it's like at noon or 1, because Tech plays at night in football, as we know. Georgia State plays Thursday night in football. They're at home on Thursday night at Georgia State Stadium. But Georgia Tech, of course, playing Clemson this week, one of the big games. If you look nationally, you, Douglas, at the lay of the land, there's like 4 big national games this week. Certainly the marquee game from a national perspective is Penn State, Ohio State, and the implications of that game for both those teams in the Big Ten and for the national championship picture. No denying that that's the biggest game of the week. Then there's a huge game in the ACC with North Carolina State going into Notre Dame. And then the next two big games in the group of 4 big games, the next two big games are both Georgia. It's Georgia, Florida, and Georgia Tech, Clemson.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would say respectfully to Georgia Tech, it goes 3-4 with Georgia, Florida being the third game and Georgia Tech being the fourth, playing against Clemson. So, yeah, it's going to be a big weekend for college football. And when you look at Georgia Tech, this is going to be a tough matchup for Clemson, I believe. You know, Clemson has that one loss that they had to Syracuse, and then Kelly Bryant's coming back from concussion protocol. Something else was wrong with his ankle or something, I think it was. But, he sprained his ankle. Thank you, Bo. He sprained his ankle. So he's coming back from concussion protocol, and he sprained his ankle. And then when you look at the way that Georgia Tech has been playing, man, in both games that they lost, combined 2 points. 2 points. If I did my math correctly, that sounds about right. But the math sounds correct. Yeah, 2 points. So this is going to be, by far, for Georgia Tech, I think, probably one of the toughest defense that they faced all year long. And you look on the other side of the ball, Clemson ain't seen this offense. And I know you've played them before in the past, but, you know, you don't play an offense like this that often. And it takes a while. It takes a couple quarters to get acclimated to this, as we've seen throughout the season with Clemson. You know, they play well in the first half, and they score early, and then teams kind of get a book on them, and they kind of, you know, sputter a little bit. But the game that they had last week against Wake Forest, they were able to hold on and make some plays. They look like they're starting to get comfortable. comfortable with that offense. And Clemson's coming off bye week, so they do have an opportunity. Shout out to my man Bo again. They got a bye week, so they've had a little bit of time to prepare for that flex bone. But no matter how much you prepare for it, if you don't have the personnel that's running it the way that Coach Johnson's going to run it, it's tough to defend.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, Georgia Tech could wallow in its beer here and say, you know, 2 points, two losses. They trailed for a grand total of 4 seconds in the second half. 4 seconds total in those two losses to Miami and to Tennessee. But and you could also say, you know, if you win both of those games, you're, you know, you're unbeaten and you're in the top six or seven teams in the nation, which, by the way, they would be. But they're not. But they still have things in front of them. The Coastal Division is right there. They could still get back into the mix. Yeah, they're going to need a little help now. Miami has to lose a couple times. But they have to win out and hope for the best here. But Georgia Tech going into Clemson. Now, Clemson, South Carolina, for those of you who have never been there, I've been there 3 or 4 times. It is a, when they call Death Valley, it is a really hard place to play, and especially a really hard place to play at night, because Clemson as a town is a small little city, okay? It's not like a big town like Atlanta. Obviously, it's not. It's just Clemson, South Carolina. And so they have this gigantic football stadium in the middle of this small town, and when they turn the lights on at night, you feel like you're trapped in the middle of nowhere with no escape route. It's a spooky feeling. And Paul Johnson yesterday talked about going up there and how difficult it is to play at night.
It's a good home field advantage. I mean, they pack 80,000 in there and they're loud. And Virginia Tech's also hard to play at night games too. There's a couple, but you know, there's no question that going in there on a Saturday night on national TV, they're going to be wound up.
Yeah, they're going to be wound up is right. That's the other thing. You got all day to do that drinking. Drive down that road with them Clemson Tiger orange paws on it and get out there to the stadium and start drinking all day long.
Yeah. I shout out to everybody who has that formula of how much water to adult beverage ratio that you can take that helps you make it through that whole entire night, because a lot of people still haven't mastered that yet. Some people will be done by 4 o'clock. But it's gonna be a good game. And I think that Georgia Tech might surprise some people. I'm not going to pick them because, you know, my pick has been kind of off, but I just think that Georgia Tech.
Again, you're going to have to pick it up Friday. We're not going to let you off.
No, I'm not going to pick them today then, but I think Georgia Tech is going to have something for them. I really do.
Tech comes into this game, of course, number two rushing offense in the nation at 372 yards a game, and Taquan Marshall already 11 touchdowns, and what a year Taquan Marshall has had in his first year as a starting quarterback at Georgia Tech. But Clemson comes in again. They've had such great offensive lines. Their combo inside, Dexter Lawrence, is going to be an absolute NFL superstar. And Christian Wilkins, Lawrence and Wilkins, the two interior defensive tackles of Clemson, are fabulous players. And Paul Johnson knows the challenge he's up against.
I can't remember a year they didn't have a really big and good defensive line. I mean, from the time I arrived here. Now, they've probably got more of them. When I first came, there might have only been 4 or 5. Now there's 8. You know, so it's like they roll them, keep them fresh, and they got a lot of erasers on defense.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they keep them fresh, and they roll them all in and out. They're like 8 deep, and they're really good on defense. Now, this is set against the fact that the Clemson offense has actually struggled a little bit this year. We're talking about Georgia Tech and Clemson. And our college football notebook brought to you by Zero Res at ZeroResAtlanta.com. That Clemson offense, you mentioned Kelly Bryant. Interesting to note that Clemson still has a chance, obviously, to win the national championship. We expected there was going to be a drop-off because of, you know, you can't lose Deshaun Watson and Mike Williams and Wayne Gallman and not have some drop-off. But it's been a little bit larger drop-off than I think some people thought. They're down about 2 touchdowns a game, and Kelly Bryant's only thrown 4 touchdowns all season long. I mean, that was a half for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, but their defense has been playing well. Mm-hmm, and their defense has been playing extremely well. And you're talking about the big D tackles that they got for Clemson. Christian Wilkinson, dude, 6'4", 310 pounds, and he's a junior. So that's a lot of man in the middle. I would think that Coach Johnson, what he tries to do every week is get those big guys moving up front. You know, a lot of dive options, trying to get those guys to get the corners and make those linebackers and stuff make decisions and you know, make plays like that. Taquan Marshall is a one heck of a talent. I think that, you know, in this game, you're probably going to have to probably throw it a little bit more than you're accustomed to throwing it, but you're going to have a chance in this game because there's some big dudes up front. You got to get them moving first, though.
Yeah, that's where Ricky June comes into play. And, you know, you lull them to sleep and lull them to sleep. You hit them with Kervante Benson. You hit them with J.J. Green. And then suddenly, you know, Taquan, you know, steps back and there's Ricky June, you know, 5 yards behind the defensive backs and into the end zone. And one of the things that Marshall's done well is hit some of those big plays on the passing game as well. So Georgia Tech is a difficult team to deal with. Now, I understand that their schedule is going to get difficult. They have Clemson. They have Virginia Tech. They have Georgia all still left here, but they are going to be a thorn and a pain. It's not what they wanted to be because they're so close, Hugh, to being – but, again, you can't sit around and go, gosh darn it, you know, we beat number six or seven in the nation and unbeaten. You can't do that because the second you do that, you're not focused on the task at hand, and the task is being able to go out there and knock Clemson off. And if for Clemson on its side of the aisle here, here's – it was somebody who said that the Clemson's loss, who was it who said Clemson's loss to Syracuse didn't mean anything? One of the national writers made a point of saying, Bo, do you remember one of the national writers said Clemson's loss to Syracuse didn't mean anything?
Mm.
And I said, my answer was yes and no. It doesn't mean anything if you win out, but it means something if you don't, because now you have, here's what it means. They have no room for error whatsoever. They lose to Georgia Tech, they're done.
I cannot remember who it was, but I remember seeing it. I think what their point was is they only expect Clemson to lose one game, and so that was it. Clemson on paper should beat – they should beat Georgia Tech. On paper, they should beat Florida State. On paper, they should beat South Carolina. Like some of these teams that they have coming up, they shouldn't be any issue for them. If this, but I think that Clemson – I picked Clemson to lose, I think, every time we pick them this year on our picks. And there was a reason, because I think Clemson is going to find out they're not the team they were last year. They're going to find out they miss Wayne Gallman. They miss Deshaun Watson. You know, you don't replace players like that. You don't replace Mike Williams. Those were – Deshaun Watson is a generational player, okay? He's a once-in-a-lifetime college football player. You see the school that I pull for when they had a once-in-a-generational quarterback? What did they? They never replaced him. I'm not now. I think Clemson's got a good option in Kelly Bryant, and they got the young freshman who some have already called to play him. But
and you're going to get Trevor Lawrence.
I just think that they're not. They've underestimated the losses they took player wise last year.
I don't know that the Clemson isn't a great team. You, I don't know that they can't win the national championship again. They are the defending national champions. Dabo Sweeney's done a great job. But this game, suddenly every game that Clemson takes the field now, you talk about playing with a target on your back and knowing you have absolutely no margin of error.
I think it was, the stat was early in the season. They returned 22% of the offense that they had last year. That's not a huge percentage. So they had a lot of new faces out there. I think during the season, the defense carried a brunt of that load. I also think that when you talk about losses and on paper – on paper, I don't think a lot of people expected them to lose to Syracuse up there in the Carrier Dome. I think that was a shock to them. But to your point, to they can't have any more missteps. I think that they're going to have their hands full with Georgia Tech. I really do. Because when you look at this young offense of Georgia Tech's, they have been getting better every week. And I know you talk about how they might be crying in their beer. I don't think they're crying in their beer about the two losses that they have. Because the two losses that they have, they were in the game. They were in the game. It was just unfortunately for them, they lost it at the waning minutes, you know, of that. But I think that they feel good where they are, and I think that they feel like they can play head up with Clemson. So that's why I think it's going to be a better game than most people expect it to be.
Well, for the Tigers, I mean, a couple of things are true. One is that they had a September like nobody else had seen and beating three top 15 teams in the nation out of the gate, Auburn, Louisville, and Virginia Tech. But, of course, the Louisville win doesn't look quite as good anymore, given what Louisville struggled this year. Still, I'm not taking that away from them. And if they're going to make a run to the national championship, they're going to have to run a gauntlet because Tech is a really tough team for them to deal with. Then they still have to play at NC State. They still have to play Florida State. They're going to get that game at home. But still, Florida State, I know for all the struggles, they're still Florida State. And then you have to play at South Carolina. And, of course, we know that South Carolina not a bad football team. So it's going to be – if Clemson does manage to make it back into the playoff, they will have earned it because they'll have to do all that and win the ACC championship game. So, you know, they've got a tough row. It'll be interesting because if Dabo can get this team into the college football playoff as a 12-1 team, I'll have tremendous respect for the job that he did this season. Maybe even I would say that if he got this team into the playoff at 12-1 this year, it would be better than what he just getting into the playoff than winning the national title last year, because this team isn't as talented as that team.
With Dabo?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you got to remember, too, being in the playing the national title game two straight years. Nick Saban has talked about this.
Right.
The expectations come into play. So now you have young players, and they think, well, I was recruited. I'm on scholarship to play at Clemson. And they get that feeling that they are something they're not. And so they carry around this swagger that they didn't earn. And so they think people are going to lay down at times. Teams have fought this. And it takes the great coaches to keep that down. Urban Meyer's guy's been able to do that. Nick Saban's been able to do that. And it seems to this point that Dabo Swinney has been able to do that. And it's just tough. Repeating as a champion is probably tougher than winning it in the first place.
Yeah, ask Alabama. Georgia Tech, Clemson, one of the big four national games with Georgia, Florida, NC State, Notre Dame. Who had NC State, Notre Dame as a gigantic game? Guess what? It's a gigantic game. And, of course, Penn State, Ohio State on Saturday. When we get back, the great Phil Sims going to join us, talk a little NFL with one of the greats from the game. Phil Sims live with John and Hugh. It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fergie, Hugh Douglas, and we turn our attention back to the NFL, and we welcome into the program on the waitford.com hotline one of the greats in the NFL, NFL on CBS Now. Phil Sims joins us again. Morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning. Let me turn my mic on. Good morning, Phil. How you doing this morning?
Doing well.
Hey, Phil, I wanted to just jump right into it, if we can, with you. Here in Atlanta, there's been, as you can imagine, quite a bit of angst about not just what happened in New England, but over the last 3 weeks, about what struggles the Atlanta Falcons are going through. From your vantage point, what do you see is, you know, if you had to put your finger on it, different about this team right now than the team we saw, say, at the end of the last, stretch of last season?
Well, you know, it's such a long year and everything. That team you saw at the end of last year, as it went through the year, really caught fire. And you know that's what the league is about. You just kind of hang in there and you figure out what you're doing well. What are we going to be this year? It always changes. I mean, and not to get into the story, but we'd go to training camp and work on a group of plays and think, oh, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
And we got something really good here. The season starts, and we go, wow, this group of plays stinks. And now we got to find out what we do well and go from there. And I think that's what the Atlanta Falcons are going through a little on the offensive side for sure. You know, determine, you know, as I watched the game the other night, you know, what I see lots of talent, see the fastest defense in the NFL. I mean, they're incredibly fast, and it shows on TV, and especially playing against New England. It's, once again, as I was at the Super Bowl sitting there going, what a difference in speed on the teams. But the game slowed down a little bit, and that's when New England kind of does their thing. But I guess my number one part of the Atlanta offense, you can't give the football enough to Devontae Freeman, and of course we know we have Julio Jones and that, but still Devontae Freeman is so explosive, just sets up the game, gives it a great pace, and then of course you guys know, and I'm sure you've talked about it to death, what can come off of the fact that everybody's worried about him when he gets the football, and that's when you take advantage of the defense.
You know, I know you've probably been hearing the stories about the offensive coordinator here, Sarkisian, and the fact that you ran some offenses, you ran some high-powered offenses. When you look at this team, is it more the execution of the plays or the plays themselves that aren't, you know, kind of going the way for the Atlanta Falcons right now?
Well, it's not being executed like it should be, of course, just in this aspect. You know, I've watched, I think, every one of their games, and I would say Matt Ryan's taken more hits than I've seen him take. He didn't take many against the New England Patriots the other night because they can't rush the passer. But I've seen him get roughed up a few times, and, you know, Hugh, you know, and you loved it, of course, roughing up the quarterback. But when you do that, it changes the mentality of the quarterback. And, oh, I better get rid of it a little quicker. It changes play calling. There's no doubt. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian, it's his first year there, first year in the NFL, and being a coordinator, and it's different. and it just takes time to adjust. And you got to be able to, you know, I always say this, guys come in, and I see it all the time with coordinators in the NFL. They take over a team. When you try to run somebody else's thoughts, there's only so deep you can go into those because they're not yours. So I would think as time goes on, more and more, the offense will become more of Steve Sarkisian's than trying to replicate what they did last year, because that's hard to do. You know, if it's not your brainchild, then it's just not going to work as well for you. That's I've always thought that about coordinators, especially on the offensive side. Unless you're on that staff with the coach who's installing it, talking about all the fine points and everything like that, it's hard to go in there and try to keep the same system. Sooner or later, you got to morph into what you are and what you can teach and get over to the players better.
Phil Simms, legendary quarterback, of course, NFL on CBS. You can catch him Sundays through the season. NFL Today on CBS, Tuesdays on Showtime on Inside the NFL. Phil, you're up in New York. Obviously, you played in New York, so you know a little bit about the other team there, the Jets, that the Falcons are going to face. Falcons just need a win this week. Tell our fans down here in Atlanta, because we don't, this is not a team, Jets team, that we know much about, so you'd have a little bit more kind of experience with them right now. Tell me what you see out of them.
Well, you know, I'll say this. They got rid of all the veterans on the football team, it seemed like. I mean, they let a lot of people go during the offseason. And I thought, this is the disaster waiting to happen. But the offensive line is solid, not great. Josh McCown has done a really good job of, you know, being careful with the football, not afraid to throw it down the field, things like that. On the defensive side, look, they got playmakers. The two rookie safeties are good. They remind you of Atlanta safeties or the guys they have. And the defensive line, capable, no question, of disrupting the game and giving their team a chance to win. Now, the bad thing for the Jets defense is I watched them, especially against Miami Dolphins, watched them again this week, and I went, hey, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then there's a total blown assignment. And that happens with some young players, a lot of new players. And but they have consistently just gone out and played everybody tough. There's no doubt. So it won't be easy for Atlanta, but Atlanta is clearly the better team. And all you got to do is hang in there long enough, and Jets wide receiving core, you know, by NFL standards, it's average. So it's a team that there's a lot of great matchups that favor the Atlanta Falcons, no doubt.
You know, I didn't want to bring this up, but, you know, being that I am a former Eagle, it kind of brings me great joy. It brings me great joy to ask you, what is going on with the New York Giants?
Man, that's one of the big, I think, the biggest surprise, maybe, in the NFL.
No question.
Because on paper, boy, I hate the O on paper, but look, Hugh, I was right on the top of it going, man, this Giant team is stacked. They got it. Look what they did. You know, they drafted Evan Engram. They drafted the kid, a defensive lineman, Tomlinson. I thought, well, he'll be a great rotational player. But I love their defense. It's aggressive. It has talent, pass rushers. They got cover guys. I mean, you just think, well, this can't go wrong. But it definitely has, and it fell apart. The limitations of the offense, the limitations of the offensive line, I really thought they could overcome those things with great wide receivers and a quick passing game and a tremendous defense, and that has not been the case. And it's just been stretches just like Seattle. I mean, the game is there to be won. They got it in their favor and everything like that, and then the Giants just fell apart. And it's been tough. 1-6, nobody saw it coming, I don't think, anywhere. And and you know how it is. In the city you play in, it's doubly worse.
Yeah.
And so that's how it is here for the New York Giants.
Phil, I do appreciate you taking a few minutes. Thanks very much.
Appreciate you talking to you, man. Have a good one.
Well, great talking to you. Good talking to you. John and Hugh, good luck to you, man. Glad to see things are going well.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Yeah, of course, it'd be going better if we get a win against the Jets here. Phil Simms, of course, legendary Giants quarterback, NFL on CBS. And Thursday Night Football, we'll have on CBS, we'll have the Dolphins and the Ravens at 8 o'clock Eastern time. I should say that, you know, when we talked to Phil Simms about, you know, the Jets, what he said was, you know, the matchups favor the Falcons. But that's been the case in the Bills game. It was the case in the Dolphins game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, right now it's just a matter, you know, again, it's interesting to hear his – opinion of what's going wrong with the Falcons, because it kind of echoes, I guess it validates the fact that I think we're all seeing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's, some of it has to do with execution. I mean, this is a talented roster. There's no question about it. And to his point, there are some teams in the NFL that are more talented than others, but for whatever reason, sometimes they don't play up to that talent level. And we need to figure out why this Atlanta Falcons football team isn't doing that right now. I mean, I think that's the biggest mystery that's going on with the Atlanta Falcons right now, is why aren't you playing as well as you are capable of playing?
Right, and what, you know, what's it take to just – because I think – all. I'm going to take a little bit of a leap. I'm going to speak for all of you listening right now. I'm going to take a little bit of a leap, see if you agree with me. Just, you can kind of nod your head in the car. Do you get the opinion – yeah, get the impression, rather – one thing can go right, one win, and all of a sudden the team could catch fire? Because, I mean, maybe you're shaking your head no, because that's what I kind of think. I think if they could just get – if they could get this one against the Jets, play well, start to play, get their confidence back, look, they could get rolling again.
Well, I go even deeper. If you eliminate the mistakes and put yourself in a better position to win, things will go better. Now, you go into a game, and say, for instance, they go into this Jets game, and they play mistake-free football, but for whatever reason, it doesn't work out in their favor. That's progress. To me, that's progress. Now, it's not something that, you know, fans are readily want to hear, but if you go in there and you get no penalties, defensive penalties, or you get no penalties for the offense, or you get no interceptions, that's progress. Because Matt is on – he's thrown damn near more interceptions in these first five games than he's threw all last season. So you go into a game and you say, okay, I'm going to complete 75% of my passes and I'm going to throw no interceptions. That's progress. And you build from there.
Big weekend of football ahead. Georgia Tech coming up on Saturday with big games for both. And you can start your college football Saturday with College Football Game Time presented by Bud Light. Going to be at McCray's at the Square in Lawrenceville. Great, by the way, great food at McCray's. Both the McCray's I've been to. John Chuckery, Chris Goforth, Randy Mack, 11-3 at McCray's on the Square in Lawrenceville. College Football Game Time presented by Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. When we get back, we will careen into that area of the show known as Hughes World.
Yes, well, I'm so excited about a basketball game tonight. And I'm going to tell you why on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode. So back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
The NBA season is upon us, people. And it's been pretty exciting so far. It's been a lot of fights in the NBA that I'm pretty, like, you know, that it's kind of surprising this early. Steph Curry got a little bit of trouble for, you know, throwing his mouthpiece at the ref. And, you know, he was saying something to the effect that there were some rumors on the internet that people were saying that Steph Curry is considered one of the most arrogant players in the NBA. I thought that was pretty interesting. But the story that really caught my eye this morning, well, last night, was the fact that the Lakers took some exception to some things that Wizards center Marcin Gortat said about the young Lonzo Ball. And I know Daryl got a kick out of this one. But this is how it all started. I guess, you know, like, the Lakers lost last night, correct? I think they lost last night.
They lost the last game they played, yes.
Yeah, they lost the last game. Let's say that. And I don't think LeVar Ball played well, because I think to date,
Lonzo didn't play well.
No, excuse me. Lonzo. See, you see what happens? Dad talks so much stuff, I get the names mixed up.
It's a lot of L's going on.
Yeah, it's a lot of L's going on. But Lonzo Ball hasn't really played well so far. He's a rookie. But I think that's compounded by the fact that his dad, you know, is saying as much as he's saying. So that leads me to this. His dad, LeVar Ball, says, message to the Wizards, they better beware, because Lonzo ain't losing again, not in the same week. So they play the Washington Wizards. So Marcin Gortat's tweet was, man, please, John Wall will torture that boy for 48 minutes. And, you know, John Wall hasn't really said a whole lot, but he did come out and say that, you know, that he feels like his dad has put a target on his son's back, like a lot of NBA players feel, and that his dad is like a carnival barker, or he's like Don King. You know, he's talking about, you know, hyping this game up, but he's not the one out there playing.
So Don King is a good call.
So yeah. Listen, I applaud the fact that, you know, he's standing by his son and, you know, he's repping his son like most dads would do. But my question, I guess, and I'm asking Daryl because I know Daryl's a big LeVar Ball fan, is when is it too much? When are you being that dad that's writing checks for your son that he ain't cashing just yet?
Listen, you know the way I feel about LeVar.
I know, and I feel like, listen, I respect him and his business acumen because I think Wendy was talking about it the last couple of weeks where he has an app. That's one
right.
of the number one apps.
It's emojis, essentially.
But you know what? It came from Sports Mania, and they already had emojis, so they were smart enough to partner with the Ball family.
Yes, and he's doing everything to further, like, build his son's brand. I get that.
Yes.
But you still have to go out there and ball. You got to ball. Well, because
can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Would you not have a target on your back since you were drafted? First and foremost, you're already going to have that target because you play with the – vaulted Lakers. You
yes.
play for that team.
No
the
question.
Storied franchise there. You're drafted number 2 overall.
Overall.
You are heralded as the one that's going to help save the city. So, I mean, excuse me, Laker basketball.
Yes.
Bring Laker basketball back, you know, to the forefront
yes.
and not Clipper ball.
Yes.
So what's end up going to happen is you're going to have that target anyway.
You're going to have that target, but you compound that by the fact that your dad out there
this
selling Wolf tickets. And he's making guys.
Do you take him seriously?
Make
though?
It their business. If I'm a player, yes, because I'm making it my business to humiliate your son. And granted, it's not fair because Lonzo hasn't said a whole lot to my knowledge in
he
this
doesn't.
Whole thing. He doesn't say a whole lot. But his dad is putting him in a bad spot. And his dad is not the one out there, you know, getting physically pounded.
Lonzo
his
can dad, handle it, though.
You know what? That remains to be seen because it's still early in the season. And to that, he doesn't say a whole lot. And that first game that he played against the Clippers, his body language was spoke volumes.
Well, Patrick Beverly was lighting his tail
Patrick
up.
Patrick Beverly was, but your body language again spoke volumes.
Well,
you did not want
John
that.
Wall
you did not
light
want
him up too.
You
come
did not
on.
Want none of that
John
action.
Wall.
And John Wall.
John Wall is going to give him that work. I told you that.
But you know who's winning in all of this is the NBA.
Yes.
The
yes.
NBA
because we are talking about it.
And the Lakers.
Well, and now this is going to be a game that
this
I want to watch because I want to see if Gortat is going to live up to it and John Wall is going to live up to it and see
you,
what happens.
And you know what's funny? Though, this is where I might have oversold it just a little bit because when I looked at the schedule. This game started at 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Because they play in L.A.
Tonight.
But I am going to give it that old. Hey, listen, I'm going to give it that old college try. Because I'm
you're going to be asleep. I saw you at the Philly game, bro.
No. About 10:30 rolled around. My eyes start rolling in the back of my head. And it didn't help that the young lady was sitting beside me. But you know how somebody rubbing on your back like a little baby? You know how when you're trying to get babies to calm down and go to sleep? She rubbing on my back, and I said, could you please stop rubbing on my back, please?
Yeah, it was some miscellaneous girl trying to rub on Hugh's
like,
back.
And I'm like, could you stop doing that, please? Because you're putting me to sleep. No, it's very comfortable. It's like rubbing a
too
big old bear. Yeah, because it's like I'm getting sleepy. I'm about to start like, going to sleep and stuff. But,
wait, what's the sound when you go to sleep? Okay.
You know, like growling and stuff. But that's going to be a good game, though. And I think I will stay up to see that one because I want to see how LeVar Ball responds.
Yeah, right.
To that.
Because I don't understand the math.
Lonzo Ball.
The math doesn't figure out to me at all. What do you mean? Lonzo doesn't lose twice in the same week. How does that work?
He was just popping off.
He was talking. He was popping off.
Because, you know, 50 losses, you're going to have to lose twice in the same week.
He was popping off.
And every time you see him talk trash on the camera, do you see the looks that he gives? He's kind of smiling.
He's smiling.
He's having fun with the camera.
And you know, and again, I applaud him for being the dad that's on the forefront for his sons. Because he is the opposite of what most people think that dads are nowadays in America. Like, you know, African-American fathers to be
yes.
specific. So I applaud that. But at the same time, man, it's like, bruh, let your son play. You know, that's almost like my son fighting a bully and he gets beat up the first time. Then I tell the bully, oh, he going to get you the next time. You know what I mean? Like making it even worse for my son. Like making it even worse for him. So
From that standpoint, I see it.
So it's like, just let your son kind of just let him grow into what he's going to be. Because you're putting that undue pressure on him. That's just how I look at it.
Or let him have the spotlight, which he's earned.
Yeah, he earned it. Because it's like almost like you're living vicariously through your child. But I get it. And I applaud him for being that dad that's front and center. I really do.
Well, our poll right now has Wings Fried Chicken ahead on National Greasy Food Day. Our Vision Computer poll on 92.9 The Game's Twitter. And I'm looking at the pictures of the nachos I tweeted out. I'm thinking nachos for lunch because it looks good. All I can tell you, it looks really good.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.